All right, I'd like to call to order the July 7th special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ferguson?
Here.
Mr. Keck?
Here.
Ms. Savage is on remote. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Okay, so our agenda this morning is to discuss future levy plans. Since our June regular meeting, the state did finally approve the budget, so you all should have received some new simulations from our treasurer, Mr. Johnson. Thanks so much for doing that so quickly. And then also, we did have some small group meetings to hear from some focus groups that our levy committee held, as well as a survey that the levy committee had taken. So we've had a chance to hear a variety of pieces of information, and I just wanted to come back together to have a chance to discuss as a board, as a whole governance team. So with that, if anyone would like to start, Todd, you want to go through some simulations?
Yeah, I can talk real quick about the simulations.
And just the state budget maybe updates.
Yeah, so I mean, we definitely got some good news with the state budget as they approved basically what was the original House version, which was the version that gave us the most funding. So that was definitely good news. So in the forecast, in all the models that I sent, each model assumed $3 million of additional state funding in fiscal year 24. We can talk briefly about the projections going out for state funding. So what I did was I just plopped $3 million in there and left it. And so a couple ways you could look at that. One, the projections show in fiscal year 25 our funding dropping by $250,000. So I didn't do that. That, I guess, would be the optimistic assumption that by that time we get to 25, we'll have probably grown by 250, 300 students. So I'm going to assume that hopefully that should offset the drop in 250 to keep us level at 3 million. So I guess that's me actually being a little optimic on finding it a little bit.
Surprise.
But at the same time, I'm not being as optimistic in 26, 27, where that's going to be a new biennium. So it's certainly possible that state funding would go up. They could pass a new budget that would increase that funding. I mean, if you look historically, we've never seen a $3 million increase in state funding. This is basically first time ever for Marysville, so I don't know that I'm optimistic that's just going to happen again. So that was why I went with the $3 million number. So.
Yeah. Well, I know one of the factors was updating the inputs from 2018 to 22, and that factor, if it was updated 1 year, would probably not generate as much income. So,
right.
Todd, is it $3 million in fiscal year 24 and fiscal year 25 on the two-year budget? Is it the same dollar amount?
It's the same dollar amount, basically. So the big bump we're receiving in 24 basically means 25 is about the same.
Okay.
The big bump hits in 24.
Okay. And since we were asking questions here, with this state budget, what was the percentage of funding the entire fair funding formula? I'm sorry. I just thought about that.
I remember that.
It's 50% for the coming year.
Okay.
And then it'll go to 66% next in the second year of the biennium.
Okay.
And if the legislature were to continue down this path, then we would be
80-ish or something.
80-ish percentage.
Okay.
And then 100%.
Okay.
But that's 100% of an average cost,
right,
which does not cover all expenses.
Right. And the offsetting factor is the wealth index of your community well can offset some of the formula calculations, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yep. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So I sent you multiple simulations just to give you, just really to illustrate, you know, some of the ways I thought you might be thinking, some of the ways I was thinking as to, you know, what some impacts would be. So the first model was just adding the $3 million of revenue in, so, and every model has the same revenue in terms of state funding. So every model mm-hmm. just assumes this $3 million is added in. But with this model, the forecast that was most recently approved, you know, has those cuts in place throughout. So that's mm-hmm. what this assumes as well, that the cuts that we've recently made of, you know, over $2 million is in place throughout the forecast. So what that would do, so I mean, you think about that in terms of plus $3 million of revenue minus $2 million of expenditures. Mm-hmm. That's a over $5 million shift per year. Mm-hmm. So obviously that's going to have a huge impact on the bottom line. That would show us with a positive balance in 26 and a cash deficit in 27. Right. The thing I would point to on this forecast and any of these forecasts is line 6.01. And obviously when you're getting out into the out years like 26, 27, mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of variables that could change, but I think the assumptions are, you know, pretty sound. But even in 25, where we know our, you know, to a pretty good extent, we know what our state funding is going to be in 25. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, in that year, we're showing a $6 million operating deficit. So that means that if we passed a 5.5 mil levy that year, that's getting us back to zero. Mm-hmm. So that's the financial pressure that we're kind of heading towards mm-hmm. once we get past 25 into 26. So, you know, in 26, we're showing over a $9 million operating deficit. 27, we're showing a $12 million operating deficit. So, I mean, again, what that says is if you pass a, you know, an 8 mil levy in 27, you're just sticking your finger in a hole in a dam because it's, mm-hmm. you know, that's something that's only a Band-Aid. You know, to fix a $12 million operating deficit, you need, you know, 11, 12, 10, 11 mils. Mm-hmm. And again, that's just to get back up to zero.
All right. In this outline, is how have you calculated growth? Are you anticipating increases in students? Are you anticipating the employment of at least some teachers during this forecast?
Yeah. So, and I would say this is, you know, I know I sometimes I'm conservative on revenues. I honestly feel like this is probably conservative on growth because I, you know, this assumes the 100 students per year. You know, well, some of the things we're hearing rumblings about would likely say that that 100 is probably conservative. So it assumes 4 new teachers per year are still being added. But, you know, for example, the preschool classrooms we just added this year, that was 6 figures that, you know, was mm-hmm. not planned for, was not in the budget, and we had to add. So those kinds of things can really impact the forecast.
I mean, can we really call it 4 new teachers if we're still under a modified hiring freeze? I mean, they're mm-hmm. additional, but we're still in the negative, correct?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to look at it that way, correct,
we're not fulfilling the positions that we start off with last year, am I understanding?
Correct. I think it's about 27 to 30 positions down.
Down. And mm-hmm. so it'll be a, I guess, a...
And that's not all teachers.
Understood.
Yeah.
But, okay. Just
yep.
want to make
that's,
that...
You can certainly mm-hmm. look at it that way, yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, I just bring that up because it's, you know, it's so easy just to look at the bottom line and where are we? Okay, it's only minus $3 million. That's not a huge levy, but you got to look at what that
compounding
because we we've been in a good place of that having that large cash balance. You know, we're going to get to the place where every time we pass a levy, we're going to be down to zero and maybe bring it back up to, you know, hopefully 6 or 10 million, and we're just going to be in a tough spot. Because, well, I mean, ultimately, just our tax rates are too low. You know, I emailed Sue. It's just, you just look around Central Ohio to see that, you know, what we're doing is not sustainable. There's no other district that has our results and has a tax rate even close to ours. The only one that would come close, it would be Grandview. And the main reason Grandview is able to do that and we aren't is their real estate or property valuations per pupil, I think, are about 2.5 times ours. So they're getting, whether it's because pupil numbers are lower and also probably a mix of just the real estate values are so much higher, they're getting more money for that same amount of millage that we have.
Mm-hmm. In your forecast, what about increase in raises and so forth that way?
So in basically kind of our policy, so to speak, that we've done since I've been here almost is that if in the years where we don't have a negotiated agreement signed, we just assume 2%. Now steps are included regardless, so that's always an assumption in the forecast. But the cost of living increase or the inflationary increase, we assume 2%.
And I would say Central Ohio, that's not going to be very competitive right now. Several places are 4%. Increases we've seen 3 to 4%.
Yeah. When, and a lot of times the OSBA briefcase email that we'll get will show contract agreements throughout the year, and then they usually have one that kind of covers all of them for the year. So you can go through and see both classified and certified contracts that have been approved, and it's all over the board, but it definitely is trending higher than it has over the past 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm. For health benefits, is that 8% or 12?
I think it's 8 is what I've got in there. Which we're
so is that separate from the 2% we're talking about, the health?
Mm-hmm. Health is separate.
We can put the medicine in a separate line.
Yes, 8% in the out years.
Yeah, we went to more or less a continuous health care negotiations. Meetings continue, and that allows the district to take advantage when opportunities arise. We're not locked in to a specific timetable in terms of making changes and adjustments to health care. It also helps to facilitate communication with the teachers and staff, which is a critical component of it.
So I think that's really all I want to point out on the first one. The second one is again, it's basically the same as the first, except it's restoring all those cuts. That $2 million of cuts has been restored in this one.
Can I just want to go back and just clarify? So on this first one, we're adding the $3 million. We're keeping the cuts in place, and there's no levy forecasted on this one.
Correct.
Knowing that probably in 25 would probably be
And the issue, like I said, with that operating deficit is that we would probably be on the ballot in 25. We would probably be on the ballot again in 27. We would probably have to renew whatever we put on in 25. We would probably have to go on again in 28 for a bond issue along with operating for a new building. So, we're kind of heading towards a
levy cycle for a little bit, right?
It's a better word than I was thinking, so.
Okay. I saw that.
But while we've aspired not to be levy cycle, I think that one of the things we've heard in the feedback loops have been, maybe if you were on more regularly, which is counterproductive to where we thought our minds were.
Right.
I think it's something to be at least cognizant of that that point was brought up. Maybe you should be on more often. Sorry.
No. That's funny. The humming is kind of funny from what the last year of experience.
Right.
My question is, what type of ask in 25 would need to be put before the voters?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, there's so many different ways you could slice that, because really the question is, how much would we need in 25 and how much would we need in, again, whether it's 27 or 28, it's that three-year period, give or take. Mm-hmm. It's the point is that it's double-digit mills. Whether it's, 8 and 5 and maybe 4 and 7, or is it 6 and 6? I mean, but the real key is that whatever we did in 25, it's going to be another, you know, it's not like let's just do three here and four here and we'll be okay. You know, it's two big ones. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And again, obviously, pointing out,
yes.
There's a lot of variables that could change. But I mean, one, I don't think there's that many variables that's going to really blow up 2025. I mean, I feel like that number should be, you know, somewhat in the ballpark. I mean, obviously, you know, people like to throw out, well, what about these positive things that could happen? What if we get to, you know, $500,000-$600,000 in solar farm money? Well, you know, that equates to about a half a mil, so it helps a little bit. But, you know, at the same time, if the in salary increases instead of 2% end up being 3%, well, there goes that $500,000-$600,000 in solar farm revenue gone. So.
A fall 2024 ask, so a November 2024 ask, right, would allow you the whole year of collection of 25. Mm-hmm. And so to Jermaine's point, what does that change anything? You said double digit if we go in 2024.
If you go in 24, I mean, it's going to reduce the number that you would need in both years. I can run a little simulation real quick if you like. I didn't do that one.
Sorry.
No problem.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is important is that the dollar amount needed doesn't change. That the primary factor is the length of time over which that number is collected. Mm-hmm. And the longer period of time that you had to collect the number, the less the millage or income tax percentage or whatever would have to be. But the final number that we need to get to is and has been rather consistent. We've been able to, you know, the state impacts has impacted that number in a positive direction, but it's still a large amount of money that it's going to take at some point to fill the gap.
I mean, I guess my only addition to your comments are that ending number. I mean, with the change in state funding, it did go down pretty significantly, that ending number. So as you get to those out years, there's a lot more unknowns,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
But I agree, at least for 2025, or, you know, for 25, I think it's
pretty set. As I followed this, I mean, the move from the 2018 inputs to 22 inputs, that is never going to happen again. You know, hopefully the state will update those inputs on an annual basis.
Right.
Or biannual basis,
right.
And it'll always provide a bump, but it's going to be a bump that reflects inflation, so it's not a situation where we're going to potentially gain, which is we're kind of catching up on inflation.
Right.
Because I know some of the reports say that when you factor in inflation, the state's still funding at a lower level than they did some years ago.
So if you assume that the cuts are kept in place, which, again, I didn't run a lot of scenarios with that, but if you went on the ballot in November of 23, 2.5 mils would get you to that end target of over $6 million to meet our cash balance policy. If you waited until November 24, you'd need about 3.5 mils. Okay. If you waited till 25, you'd need about 4.5 mils to get, you know, again, hitting that over $6 million at the end of the forecast.
Okay.
Keeping in mind that then you're showing a large deficit, cash deficit the next year.
And then obviously, if you wanted to bring the cuts back, then you'd probably have to add at least a mil.
A couple
more,
mils.
Two mils, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what that second forecast shows. It's the $3 million in there, and all the cuts have been restored. So that without a levy, that shows us with almost close to a $12 million deficit at the end of the forecast. We'd be sitting on a $2.5 million cash balance in 26. That puts you in a tough spot because, again, if you said, well, we'll just go on in 25, well, you've only got $2.5 million of reserve, which is not even 15 days of a cash balance on hand. So, you know, then we would be looking, if we waited until 25, you know, you could do it, but it would be a big number. That's really not a great option to restore all cuts and wait until 2025 when we're at the end of our cash balance, basically. So that would be setting us up for big levy 25, another big levy in 27, if not even 26, really. So that's not a great option.
With this option, I don't really know the full impact of the academic cuts, but I can imagine that the booster and athletic co-curricular programs won't make it. Not all of them can make it till 25. Is there, obviously academic is a priority, but is there modified cut restoration? Like, what's that? Because I don't think booster programs can fund. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure if they can fund assistant directors, coaches, and travel for the next year, 2 years.
I opened a couple months ago and said I'm not sure it's sustainable after we had our group meeting. Some programs much more.
Right.
It's much more of a possibility than other groups. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't want any groups not to necessarily, but it will be a challenge. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then again, because I didn't want to create 50 simulations.
Can I say one more thing? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I would also take you back to the feedback you got on the survey from the community group that, extracurriculars really didn't move the needle in people's decision-making process either when it came to prioritizing issues on the ballot. Extracurriculars wasn't one. It came back to, safety, class size, teacher retention,
transportation
as those key functions that move the needle to motivate people to vote for or support.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? So, which I just think is important to keep
that
in mind.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And some people may be thinking, we haven't cut transportation, but from what we understand, if there's no savings because of the current reimbursement from the state for transportation of students to and from school.
Mm-hmm.
So, if somebody listens to this and say, well, Ed, usually one of the first things
we're going to stop busing, transportation,
mm-hmm. and there's no money to be saved there.
Right. I mean, the only savings is with the extracurriculars because you don't get reimbursed for extracurricular travel. So,
well, my question was really about modified cuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In these assumptions, that's because I just don't. If it's not sustainable, and it's not a motivator for turnout, then do we solve that now to get if we decide to go that road? Is it solvable?
My challenge back to you is probably a bit controversial in my statement, but our core business is educating kids, and we have classrooms that are not filled. And if you ask for a recommendation from the superintendent, while I think, wholeheartedly support extracurriculars, our core business is educating kids. And, 35 kids in a class is not ideal. 30 kids in elementary class is less than ideal. 28 in a K class. To me, the investment should be in restoring some of those positions. Mm-hmm. I understand the lessons taught and extracurriculars are invaluable as well, But we also know what happens to kids who can't read. And we also know what kid, you know, their trajectory is not great. Mm-hmm. So if you said give us priorities, you know, that's where I would encourage you to think about restoration.
I mean, as an individual, when we start talking about the contingency plan, extracurriculars was number one because I'm academic on my list. Mm-hmm. The question since this levy thing is I've been approached, hey, you know, we're talking about a 200K problem. That's what we're talking about. That those are some individuals from booster programs or saying, you know, that these cuts are very minimal compared to the big picture. And so the pain that's going to be put, and a kid like me who was in high school, if the threshold of fundraising goes up higher, I would not be able to participate. And so that's where I'm coming from, is if people are asking, hey, you guys are going to, if we're going to keep this pain in place until 25, but it's such a small part of the cuts, that's why I'm asking, can we, if we go down that route, is there a way? I agree, I mean, the classroom's first, but the other point is valid, is that's a pressure.
A 200K investment in our classrooms would be, that's not chump change either.
Right.
You know,
it
does add in supports for kids
bodies.
Who need it.
Yep.
And I
feel like with the extracurriculars, my opinion is just there's a nice community opportunity there for more support, whether it's charitable funds that support pay to participate or sponsor events, things like that, and even silly things, not silly, but things like carpooling with parents. I mean, you know, like when you have transportation issues, I can remember when my kids were in school, I mean, we did a lot of carpooling for people that didn't have the ability to take their kids places or pick them up. And so I look at it from that perspective. If it's not as big amount as, I guess it's an amount that there can be some solutions outside of the district in my mind. So, and
that's,
I know
same,
it's challenging.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, like that whole idea about sustainability and everything, but I think that there's some opportunities. Yep. Bill.
Well, I think we're talking about saving some support groups, at this point in time, and it may come down to, if we can't increase funding, you won't need the support group because you won't have that program, you know, in place. And I hate to even say that, but I mean, you look at athletics and any of the after school programs, that's a huge savings if we cut all that compared to academics. And I'm not in favor of cutting any of that, but I'm just saying right now the 200,000 is a pretty small number compared to where we may end up down the road. The other thing I think the community needs to understand is they said the academics is more important. We don't care about all the extended programs and so forth. The problem with that is that affects your teacher retention, because a lot of teachers would not even be in the business if it weren't for coaching additions.
Supplementals.
Supplemental contracts. They would be doing something else other than teaching. And that's a, you know, could we pick up the pay to that level where they would say, well, I'm going to teach versus go do some other professional activity? Mm-hmm. And I think the answer to that is no, but I don't know.
I guess as I look at it, when we talk about restoring the cuts in the extracurricular areas, that does not add significantly to the millage that we would need if we're talking 200,000 or 300,000. I think 1 mil is roughly $1 million. So we're talking about 0.2 mils that would then be going to the extracurriculars. And I think in terms of conversation with the community, We need to focus on the things that are going to help us get a levy passed. And I coached, I ran mock trial program, programs that disappear have a heck of a time ever coming back. You know, it sets programs back 10, 15 years in some cases. Or
I think that's conservative.
Yeah, and some that I've seen just disappear entirely. So I understand the significance of that. But our dollar amount, the biggest driver of the size of the ask and the timing of the ask is going to be academics, I think. And I think the athletics will kind of, if we can get community support for the academics, there will be support for the extracurriculars.
So the original question, though, I mean, you could easily make a million different forecasts and say, well, what if we brought back 10% of the cuts or 20% of the cuts? So, I mean, I think once, you know, the board discusses and decides something, we could run simulations that would, you know, that would show
target those things.
Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's because mm-hmm. of new state funding or because of a projected levy, what's it look like if we bring back a certain amount of cuts? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I did all or none, mm-hmm. you know, which may not be, you know, the most realistic way to look at it, but that was the way I chose to do these simulations. So the third option shows, with all the cuts being restored, it just illustratively shows that it would take a 4.5 mil levy if we were to go on the ballot in November of 23 to hit that positive $6 million cash balance at the end. So that would be the number it would take in 23, and like we said, that number would go up each year if we were to wait.
And the reason, so this number, Todd, is lower from 5.5 mil is because of the additional million from the House version.
Correct. Yep. Then the next two, just because there's been a lot of discussion of the income tax, so the 0.5% income tax in November of 23 with cuts being restored. Income tax is a little different than millage. I can't just, you know, go from, you know, 0.75 to 0.7. It goes in 0.25 increments. So as when you're talking millage, you could go from 4.5, you know, like we said, 5.5 down to 4.5. Mm-hmm. Well, with the income tax, it's either 0.75 or 0.5. So with that additional $1 million, the 0.75 would still be nice. You know, it would get us higher than the $6 million ending cash balance with cuts being restored. So I showed a 0.5. So that doesn't quite get us there. It gets us to positive 2.6 million. So still a good thing. And then the thing with the income tax is it's most likely to grow. The forecast doesn't mm-hmm. calculate growth on the income tax. So there's, you know, a chance it would more than likely be larger than what that income tax is showing, because there's very, very high likelihood it would increase. And then the final one shows, that 0.5% income tax with the cuts not being restored. And obviously that's creates the large ending balance of the things that we've shown. That would show an ending cash balance of $11 million at the end of the forecast.
But an income tax for 25 is not an option at all. Well, because of
if we're not bringing any cuts back, okay, so if you look at the first forecast, you could theoretically do an income tax in 25 if you kept all of the cuts in place, because, you know, again, that was a swing. It's almost like we just passed a 5 mil levy, really, because of the new state funding and those cuts. So it would open a window of the opportunity to do an income tax in 25. I'd have to run numbers to see what
it's fine. Just,
what it, you know, would it be a half?
It's,
or
it's a possibility. It's fine. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all. Right. Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, do you have any questions or comments? If you're still out there.
I'm here. So my big comment is, number one, I think education does have to be our priority. And I'm also very concerned about the survey results and the focus group results. It is not... The community does not seem to be very supportive of any type of a levy. However, I think maybe we need to consider that we need to give them an option in 23, since I don't think it's going to cost the district anything to put something on the ballot, because there's so many issues already on the ballot. I guess I need to get from that statement. But... maybe we need to consider putting something on the ballot to give the community a chance to say yes or no. I'm not really advocating for a campaign, but to keep the cuts in place, I think we need to give them the option to say yes or no.
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yep, thank you, ma'am. Other comments? Thoughts?
So of all these plans, what's your recommendation?
You know, looking at it financially, mm-hmm. if you just take out the politics and take out the survey, I mean, obviously, and that's what we've said for the last couple of years, the income tax is the option that alleviates the levy cycle. Or, you know, lessens the financial pressure in those out years because of growth. Doesn't mean that's the only option, because, you know, the 20 mil floor also does that to an extent, you know, because mm-hmm. that would also give us growth and also help us to reduce millage in those out years. You know, maybe a levy could be decreased by a mil or two because of the 20 mil floor if we continue to see property value growth. So, I mean, the sooner you pass something, the longer you collect, and the sooner you pass something, the smaller it could be.
We do know that there is a potential for legislation. There's already a bill being passed around to eliminate the 20 mil floor, because so many school districts in Ohio are approaching the 20 mil floor. And so... earlier this month at the superintendent's meeting, we were informed of that through BASA. So that's been something we've been watching, you know, aspiring mm-hmm. to get to. So right. I was a bit deflated when we learned of that. Now, if it passes, who knows, blah, blah, blah. But I think that is something that people should be aware of.
I guess I hear people listen to the recording. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we haven't talked about the survey. We all know it, but I guess for the public.
Yeah.
Dialogue.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't good results. I mean, basically from that survey, it did not feel like there was resounding support for any kind of a levy. I don't know, you want to throw in any more details or?
I mean, the first and foremost, yes. It's important to be clear that this
yes.
is not a survey conducted by the district, and we did not engage in a partnership with the community to do that
right.
or pay them,
our,
you
right.
know, so there are no Sunshine Law type violations, and the board does not have a copy of the survey.
Right.
General sentiment was that people were unwilling, of likely voters, that people were unwilling to pay more money or approve of any type of tax issue. General sentiment was not necessarily around the offerings of the school district, but more so around too high, can't afford it responses. Mm-hmm.
They were supportive of the work of the school district. I think
correct.
For the most part, they felt like the school district is doing a good job. But it, I think it did kind of just come down more to not being able to afford, feeling like it wasn't a good time to try and put something out there.
No. I mean, all of you had individual meetings with the co-chairs, so anything that you...
Was the purpose of the survey for the public, mm-hmm. was the purpose of the survey to gauge if there was public support for a levy or for which option, income tax or property tax, which kind of ask would be most likely supported?
Mm-hmm. Both.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we know which ask was had more support.
The property tax.
Okay.
Not by a significant margin, but it did. Right. And I would say also what we heard in each group conversation was that when you switch to income tax from property tax, you had voters shift both directions. Mm-hmm. So people who supported one side then became non-supporters when you went to income tax. So... Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one interesting thing in the survey, because you can only ask so many questions, you can't ask them a million questions. So the one thing that's interesting that I don't know the answer to is, you know, they had to pick some numbers. So they picked a 5.5 mil levy or a 0.75 income tax. So that mm-hmm. I don't know when the answer was we don't want any more taxes. Period. Mm-hmm. But what if we're saying it's not 5.5, it's 2.5? Or what if it's not 0.75, it's 0.5? Does mm-hmm. that sway? I mean, obviously it would sway some, but mm-hmm. we don't know whether that sways enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In my view, I mean, I guess I was more hoping for the results to indicate which direction to go in November rather than we don't want... I've already heard... plenty of conversations about we don't want our taxes raised. Mm-hmm. Anecdotally, we have results from the May ballot that shared that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, May, we had 30% voter turnout, which is high for May single issue ballot. Mm-hmm. That's very high. We lost by 926 votes out of over 7,000 cast. So we're within reach, is what I'm saying. I know we have it. I know historically levies do not pass on the first time for new money. And I know that in the community there's this assumption, well, of course they're going to be on in November. Some people claimed we're going to fail the first time to really see if the district's serious. And I fear if we move from and not go on in November, this November, we reinforce and we kind of train voters that, hey, the district will ask one time, and then if you don't approve, we'll come back in a couple years. And is that, in 25, that's not going to be an option. We're going to have to pass in May, or there's going to be serious cuts, mm-hmm. and you're going to have 3 board member seats in November. So if the philosophy is, hey, we never run a levy when you have board seats, the community doesn't have support, those options, that's not going away between now and 25. Mm-hmm. It's not going, maybe next year it can cool off a little bit, but it's not going away. We have to press forward. We have a legitimate ask. We have legitimate needs. The district's done very well communicating with voters. We have safety. We just put in school resource officers. We could have waited, but we did that because that's the number one priority. You know, transportation. Do we have any complaints about transportation? We're providing those needs. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can reinforce that between now and November, but we're providing it. We're communicating. I'm very... very uncomfortable with the idea of let's wait and just kick the can down the road approach because voters are going to be more likely to support in 25. I don't see that changing. I see that we have to fight and we have to push forward and mold a consensus with our and change it from negative 926 to a positive 926. We can do that. I think we just have to do it.
I don't my competitive nature says don't quit. You know, when things go tough, you redouble your efforts and you push forward. Mm-hmm. But the information that we received, the opinion was that the community, the number one message was, we don't want our taxes to go up at all. And when we have in the community information, even from media sources, that's inaccurate. Mm-hmm. We have the athletic facilities, the Impact Stadium and Drive Stadium at the high school and at the middle school were not paid by operating funds. But when that is promoted in the community, you know, that's an issue. You know, we can come back and we have been trying to communicate with people that was paid out of permanent improvement funds, that were no operating funds.
And donations, right. Donations and permanent improvement
funds. Donations and permanent improvement funds that are funded with separate tax issues that cannot be used for operations. So if the people that are attending our meeting, if the people that are in touch with the community don't have the correct information, then the question of how do we provide facts and truth to the voters becomes, from my seat, a barrier. Now, is it insurmountable? I coached a lot of games where we didn't have seemingly a chance and ended up winning. So, you know, I know that things are achievable with the right effort, with the right communication and so forth. But it is going to be a very, very significant challenge, particularly when you have media sources, people in the community that are putting out information that's not accurate and offering it for truth.
What's your thought, Bill?
Well, I don't know. I think my gut feeling is we should try. I don't think we should spend a tremendous amount of money in that try, because I think at this point that education of the community has been very well done. If they do not see the situation that we're in, then what they're saying is, we don't care. We don't want any new taxes, no matter what. You know, I think if we don't, it's kind of like, well, when you come back in 2 years with a tax levy, we're going to let you, you know, tighten your belt again, and then we'll talk. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm afraid we're going to get into this continual failure. The other side of it is, you know, if we run a levy and we fail again, which is predicted, what's that do to the morale of teachers and staff and also staff that we don't have and trying to get to hire people, mm-hmm. you know, because people look at that and they say, well, you can't pass a levy, and there are communities out there that have gone 15 and 20 years without passing levies, and I would gladly take anybody to those communities for mm-hmm. a school tour, mm-hmm. Just so they could see what it looks like.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Marysville right now, but
right. I guess I'm concerned. First off, just the focus group feedback, the survey feedback, and I think y'all know I'm a pretty darn optimistic person. But I have felt like after the May failure, what I didn't feel was people who are very supportive of the schools really saying, you know, geez, what do we need to do? We've got to, you know, we've got to get going here. I have felt more of this, you know, well, come on, guys. We've all been tightening our belts, and inflation is crazy. Everything is costing more than it ever did before, and you're asking us to throw out more, and we have a choice, and the choice is no right now. And I'm not feeling that support that I was hopeful for. And even, you know, I haven't spoken to as many people as I would like to, but I think about our community coffees. You know, we had one of each. Not a big turnout after a failed levy and contingencies are in place. One person came and basically said, you need to tighten your belts, need more information. Another person, new to the community, what can we do? We want to support it. We moved here because of the schools. So I know there are people that want to support the schools, but I feel like the people that have been here longer and know what's going on weren't as supportive as I thought they might be, you know, or should be, knowing all of the opportunities that their kids have and all of the programs that we've found ways to pay for very creatively. And even people that, with all of the information that was sent out, that said, I didn't know there was going to be a levy on the ballot, you know. And so it's that never ending, the reality of how many people either didn't take the time or didn't, you know, for whatever reason, didn't have the information, weren't aware of it. I just think it's challenging.
But I think you hit on something right there, is that there's a, you know, I don't know how our parents voted, but there's that, I didn't know. Well, now they know.
Mm-hmm.
And they know the effects of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that may increase the number of yes votes.
Yeah.
Whether it's enough.
Well, but I would have thought we would have heard more, though, too, from people,
true.
You know, and...
And we haven't.
We haven't.
I think Jermaine made a good point there, unintentionally, where, you know, you said, well, if we get to 2025 and fail, we'll make serious cuts. I would change that a little bit to say we just made serious cuts, and if we waited until 25, we would be making catastrophic cuts. And the reason I say that is, like, the idea that people haven't really said anything about, you know, these cuts. Well, they haven't experienced it yet. I mean, the people that are athletics and extracurriculars, they have, and they know what this is. So those people are, you know, kind of up in arms a little bit. The parents of your students, they're not feeling the cuts that we've made yet, because they haven't had their kid in a classroom of 28, 29, 30 kids yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that those conversations haven't started yet, but they will.
Mm-hmm. Good point,
In our community coffees, I have heard, there's a natural assumption in this community that we're going on the ballot in November. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone believes we're going on the ballot in November. I've heard from boosters saying, what are the cuts going to be like in November if it fails?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard from parents. I even got a message from someone this week about Unified Arts. Mm-hmm. Hey, I heard Unified Arts are at risk. Mm-hmm. Is this true? How can you save Unified Arts?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess those are all anecdotal, but there are people thinking about it, and their minds are set on there's going to be a levy in November, and there's going to be more other consequences if we don't pass in November. So people are kind of maybe quiet, maybe not rushing the doors and clamoring down, this meeting's empty and no one's here, but they assume that we're going to fight and we're going to be on the ballot in November.
I'm sorry, we do have one guest here, right?
I'm sorry. I consider you part of the team. That's
right.
Back to morale.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about morale. So we have cuts in place. What's the morale going to do for our teachers if we wait?
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about, I mean, I'm tired of talking about what happens if we lose, but why not focus on why we should go on the ballot? If we wait until 25, do you think morale and the staff, when they can't negotiate contract because the projected revenues are stagnant, their class sizes are going up, their workload's going up, do you think morale's going to go well do you think when I drop my kids off in the school buildings and I see that and I know that, hey, I didn't say we should continue the fight, that I've done them a service? I mean, we can talk about morale if we lose, but the waiting is not going to improve morale at all. Am I correct? I mean, I'm assuming it's not going to improve morale, but if I was in their shoes, I would ask, why is the Board of Education not fighting for me?
When we had our meeting with the city, there was a comment that was made that I thought was very inappropriate. And then it was repeated again in local media that we needed to get out and knock on doors and try to communicate our need and the issues with the public. And Steve Cox and Erica Goodwin, Steve is in attendance today, they were remarkable in terms of their efforts to get out. Doors were knocked on. Community was canvassed. So the fact that the statement that we need to get out and try to communicate to the community is I thought, was a very inappropriate comment to be made in that meeting, and I was disappointed to see that it was repeated. So I want those the public to know that we had some great people that made a Herculean effort to try to get this levy passed in May. And one of my concerns is turning to them and to others and saying, hey, we want you to redouble your efforts. That I think is very hard. I agree with the idea that we've got momentum, that we need to offer a choice. I agree that, you know, the cuts. But I think, if academics is going to be our focus, we have to look at, do we continue the SRO program? Because I don't know what the equivalent number of teachers that the SRO program would provide, but I would think
it would bring back probably close to half of our cuts.
All right. That just that one move would improve the academics in our school district significantly. And that doesn't diminish the role that SROs pose in our school district, serving as mentors and helping to provide security in the building. But we may have to look at a different route to try to make sure that the kids are in a safe environment. And we may be offering something that we can no longer afford when we look at the impact on academics. It would break my heart to see our extracurriculars go away. Mm-hmm. When you look at not just football, basketball, swing choir, those that are very large and
visible
and visible to the community, but our bowling teams, the programs like mock trial, the after-school programs that help kids that are at risk and kids that need supervision. Those are the ones that the ones people don't know about are oftentimes the ones that are most meaningful. And the impact on an individual's life coming out of these extracurriculars is absolutely incredible. I have hundreds of examples of kids that were motivated to stay in school, graduate, and become successful citizens. I've seen individuals that made career choices that led them in directions that were very fulfilling for them, maybe more so than what their original plans were. And to see those kinds of things fall away would be heart-wrenching. But it would be it would be a very tall order in November, and I would hate for us to make a decision without considering the size of the challenge that is going to be faced. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it, but I think we need to go in with our eyes open and know, you know, exactly what's at risk. And I think that as we, you know, as I look at these budgets, when we're 5 years out, anywhere from 12 to 14, $15 million per year, we're spending more than the income that we have. I mean, you can say that real well, but when we're spending $12 to $15 million more than we receive, that's a significant problem. And I don't know that we can wait 2 or 3 years to begin to make some additional cuts. If we put something on the ballot earlier, I think we need to be clear that we're going to take an aggressive action in order to balance a budget with the resources our community decides we're going to have. And I see this really as a community decision. What sort of community do you want? Your schools are part of the community. They're not the whole community. The city, the township, you know, the recreation downtown, the restaurants and festivals and so forth are all part of our community. The schools are a significant portion of that. And so this, to me, is not just a vote for the schools, but it's a vote about the type of community that you want to have at large. And if the community decides that they don't want to support the schools financially, then I think as a board we have to say that we will operate it within the budget that you've given us, and we will do the things necessary in order to achieve a balanced budget that will allow us to pay the bills.
Yeah. And but as you pointed out, with these, you know, when we look at this 5-year forecast, any cuts at this point are going to be catastrophic, and
yes.
And we will be looking at the optional things like SRO's safety, which we found out is like one of the top things that matter to our community members and extracurriculars as well. So, although that didn't show up as high, but anyways.
And I would just encourage everyone to think about wherever you land.
Yeah.
Certainly Todd and I are going to work diligently to, you know, ensure that the education pieces and everything we can do on our end as a school district is in place. We did hear in your groups the challenges, specifically with the community committee, were fundraising to actually get information out, because our groups are also asking our community for funds to support them. And so it's kind of like a competition for funds, which is not...
Not a good place to be, right?
Yeah. So I think that's one challenge to consider. It's not cheap to run a campaign at all. So I, as a competitor as well, am all about the win and struggle with not going on at the next opportunity also. But I think you also need to, I would just encourage you, when you ask for information and opinions, our district has always done a great job of taking that survey information and responding. If you're going to ask for the information, it's also equally important to hear it and not let maybe that makes pride sense. Or competition or the win, which I get, trust me, but I think it's important to think, and then we, if we were to decide to go on in November, the amount of time we have to communicate our pillars is limited. If you think about a 2024 ask, I would not advise the spring of 2024, but most likely the fall of 2024. Or to think about that as an option, and then we have ample time to communicate and make sure that message is clear. Now, I don't have an answer to the if we don't pass, it's catastrophic, because we do know there are some challenges with the community perception that some things have already come back. So that's kind of working against us. So we'd have to craft, you know, messaging and engagement around those items that are priority to the community that they shared with us. So, I always struggle when people talk and we aren't reflective of that. Mm-hmm. That can be a challenge as well.
Right. I mean, that's the levy committee did work with a consultant who has a 90% passage rate or something, and the consultants did not advise. I mean, that's one of those things. It's hard to hear that. It's very, very, very hard to hear that, and it's hard to hear from the focus groups that it wasn't a resounding, you know, we'll support something. It just, you know, has to be less or whatever. We didn't hear those things, and it's incredibly difficult to take that in and accept it, I guess, because I can't disagree with anything you've said, Jermaine. I cannot disagree, and it breaks my heart for our students, for our staff, for our families, for our community. It breaks my heart knowing that they are going to experience some things this fall. You know, even if we put something on this fall, they're still going to experience it because things are already in place from the failure in May. But I really struggle with not taking the advice from people who do this professionally, do it all over the state and do it with a variety of districts, a variety of communities, and have, taken the time to look at the results from May and to talk to people and gather that community sentiment. I can't disagree with what you've said. I know you've had those conversations. We've all had different conversations, even in talking to the family members and, you know, just kind of getting their gauge on it. It's just a unique feeling right now. Unique's not the right word, but it's a challenging environment that we're in right now.
Yeah. We know that our community is pretty much split down the middle on income with property tax. The survey was done by a company where they came into our community and asked our community, what do you think? And the strongest response was, I don't want my taxes to go up at all. That's what they heard our community say. So this is not, because I have a tendency sometimes to think, well, this is a company that was outside of Marysville. Mm. You know, I'm here, I listen to people I know. But they were also talking to people in our community and gathering that information. And going back before May, I remember talking with people that I thought would be gung-ho and really supportive of the school district that said, there's no way.
Right.
There's no way.
Now, Some retired teachers, I know.
And people with small children in our school district and business people in our community that have always supported the schools in the past. And so taking that, and I certainly also heard from people that were very supportive and we're going to vote yes and so forth. I heard that also. But taking those comments from those people and then hearing from our levy committee that the recommendation is not to put something on the ballot this November doesn't surprise me. It disheartens me, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Yes, Bill.
Well, I think the one thing that we've kind of beat around, and maybe I shouldn't say it publicly, but going to, is that, you know, that focus group, you know, basically hurt themselves in terms of that they're saying don't put it on the ballot, and if you do, we're not going to be your campaign, you know, not the levy committee, but the focus group that did the survey, mm-hmm. said we're not going to support this because you can't win and we're not in the business of losing. So, you know, so they gave up a tremendous chunk of change right there, which they could have taken and lost, but they don't feel it's possible to pass, which is very disheartening. But I think that's a...
It's hard to ignore that, isn't
it? It's very hard to ignore that.
I know. Right.
Well, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is for the board to consider all the information that you have in front of you, mm-hmm. and to make a decision. And mm-hmm. and at the end of the day, the community is going to give us an amount of money to operate a school district. Mm-hmm. And so my job doesn't change. You know what I mean? We're mm-hmm. still going to do right by kids with the best of our ability with the money that we're given by this community. Mm-hmm. I think there are lots of factors you have to consider. Timing. It's not... So, to your point, I can't disagree either. The one thing I may disagree a little bit on is we lost by 900 and some change. Mm-hmm. That's not 900 this time in the fall, I don't right. believe. It would be the committee's job to sway a much larger amount of voters than 900. I would anticipate a higher turnout given...
Like the referendum.
The right. referendum, mm-hmm. abortion bill mm-hmm. now is added to that. And part of, it's not just about the need. We know we have a need and we've articulated that need and we will continue to do that. It's about creating opportunity and the highest likelihood for you to have a pass and win, right? Mm-hmm. I think... Key to that is obviously more communication until that time comes. So if you say November, you know, we've got to enact some things pretty quickly. But if we look at challenges and we look at opportunities, I worry that our challenges right now for a November ask way far outweigh our opportunities. Did I say that backwards?
Nope.
Okay. I think our challenges are more significant to get over the hump than our opportunities to win.
But you're thinking that November of the following year would be a more likely or a better time than May.
Yeah, May would be tricky what's the word? I'm a primary. I was thinking preliminary, and that wasn't, mm-hmm. I knew it was right. It was a primary. Mm-hmm. The last time the district won was a presidential, which was 2008. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be work.
Right.
You know, but you, to me, you have a year and a half to say, it's got to go, mm-hmm. right? If we know, we listened to you, that it wasn't the right time. You needed more information. These are the things that are important to you. And really work on that charge as a district. I don't feel like I can give you a recommendation ultimately. But I'm just that clearly, those would be my inclinations. Mm-hmm. I think the challenges in November... In all transparency, with not a settled agreement with the city, and I don't believe necessarily we're going to have a settled agreement when we come back in, is that two Fridays?
Yeah, on the 21st. On the 21st, yeah, mm-hmm. we're going to be hopefully bringing something, but yeah, I mean, I think those conversations are ongoing, and I think that's that is a factor as well. Not a huge, maybe not as huge as some of the other things, but that, that's part of
factor,
the, yeah, it's part
right?
of the story.
That
the
when
story.
You,
is being on the ballot this November a pressure in our favor in those negotiations?
I don't think so.
There's
I don't
no
feel
leverage
it is.
In being on the ballot in November.
I did not sense that.
I think I would agree with where I think you're heading. I think it should be.
I think it is.
I don't think that about they should
the public support. The public is pressuring them to come to an agreement because of the ballot ask.
I didn't get that sense. Yeah, I don't think the city feels that pressure. There may be people out in the community that have expressed that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the city council right. feels that.
I think they feel like it, like we might feel like it's a pressure. So
yeah.
But yeah, I did not get that yeah. sense
hey,
from them.
The issue, the TIF issue that came up mm-hmm. was with $700,000 or $800,000 swinging from the city to mm-hmm. to the school district mm-hmm. was one part of a larger issue that deals with all the TIFs,
economic development,
yeah. development, everything incentives. Moving to the future. And I think in the minds of some, you know, it was a single issue for the passage of or the failure of the levy, and I think they missed the larger point. The advantage of not doing something this November to me is that we have time to educate. People have said and it was mentioned by a media source that we said we were going to cut kindergarten and then we didn't do it. And the reason was mm-hmm. that just like the busing is supplemented at a higher level and doesn't offer savings, we found out we actually would have lost money had we made significant changes to kindergarten. And the loss of that money was the reason why we chose not to make any adjustments there, and but we didn't, you know, time wise, we didn't get that out, and until the budget was passed, we kind of fingers crossed were hoping that the budget was going to turn out as it did, mm-hmm. and so we guessed right on that. But we still have a lot of messaging to do, a lot of information, and we're going to have to repeat over and over and over again in order to be able to reach people, and that's going to take time, and I think November may be too soon.
Todd, the assumptions that we have here is a 4.5 mil property tax in November. What would that ask be next November?
So it pretty much went up 1 mil per year.
Yeah, so if you're saying
5.5.
Are you saying cuts restored and a levy? Or, you know, which assumptions? I could run something real quick.
Yeah. Assumption 3. You're saying,
yeah,
what would that be in November of 24?
Yeah, cuts restored. I mean, with the cuts, I'm just going to say,
yeah.
all the decisions I've made was with the assumption that we're going to be on the ballot in November. I mean, mm-hmm. all my votes, everything I've discussed in this board mm-hmm. has been with the assumption
right.
about
well and I felt like that too. I mean that was kind of how I was approaching this too, until we got the focus group and the survey and the consultants' feedback. And when I heard that and had time to digest and really kind of think about just the sense that I feel in the community, that's when I'm like, ooh, and I guess that's one thing I feel like, you know, when we change our minds on things, you know, and people say, well, you know, you were planning that all in advance and stuff. I feel like anytime we've changed our minds, it's been based on new information that comes in, and you have time to think about it and say, you know what, I'm not going to just stick my feet in the ground because this is what I said a month ago. If I get new information and it impacts how I feel about something, I'm willing to change my mind And if somebody, you know, somebody questions that, then please give me a call and I'll explain. But but I agree with you. I was always thinking, okay, if it doesn't pass in May, we've got to go in November.
Well, to that point, I mean, we were at the legislative meeting with Senator Reinicke, and you said that the district did a survey, and the number one result was what? No increased taxes, correct? Am I correct that the district did a survey before the SLET levy, and the resounding result was there's no support, they don't like their taxes going up. Mm-hmm. And we pursued the 9.9 mil, then we came back with 8.4 mil, we reduced our ask. The information is not new, that people don't want their taxes raised. Mm-hmm. That's not new information. May showed us that. The new information is the 3.8 million in state funding. Mm-hmm. That's new. Mm-hmm. But the new tax sentiment is not new. I mean, I didn't need a professional consultant to tell me that. I needed to know which option, property tax, income tax, what's the best chance to win?
And our community is split 50-50.
Slightly more supportive of property tax.
I think a 4.5 mil income tax, or sorry, property tax, that's cutting the millage of the ask in half, roughly. And I think we could swing some votes more positive, where 8.4 was just too much. I mean, we're still going to have issues, we're still going to have problems, we're still going to have no problem. There's still going to be challenges. I'm not saying the challenge is going away. Mm-hmm. I don't believe the challenge is going away in November of 24 or May of 25. I don't think challenges are going to dissipate. Mm-hmm. Diane, I think you've done a good job communicating. I don't know what, like, the district's done a good job communicating. We could have used the SROs as leverage to get a leverage pass, but we did the right thing and put them in place before the levy. I mean, is there really new information? Is my question that I? That's just where where I stand.
If we waited till 24, that 4.5 would, on that same scenario, would go up to somewhere between 6 and 6.5.
The challenge too, I would say, is remember that when we went on in May, that things on our contingency plan or reductions, whatever you want to call them, did not motivate enough people to vote yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That.
Yeah.
So I also don't think running in May on bringing those back is a game changer either, right? So I've heard the board more than once say, want to bring those back, bring those back. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is typically... when you make reductions, you make the reductions and you move on. And mm-hmm. and you're looking at the next ask and then, I'm not saying that right, next ask. And then there's a set of reductions to go on from there. It's rare mm-hmm. that you run a campaign on, we're going to bring back the things that weren't voted in before mm-hmm. and, you know, move forward with the money we need. Mm-hmm. Typically... does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
I just, we're a growing community, and that's like, we need more gas, we need more fuel in the tank, right?
Yeah. But that's every family's saying, too, with their individual budgets, I mean, I think that's our big challenge right now.
And I think when you referenced a former survey, mm-hmm. I would have to go back and look, but I'm not sure that was the question asked. The question was about... do you know enough about an income tax? Mm-hmm. And if you learned more things, does that sway you one way or the other? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
So
I thought this
you might be right. I just don't remember it.
I don't know.
It's too far back for me.
I just know that's what was said. Yeah. And I've heard you say that story multiple times.
Yeah.
And I think even... because there was advisor groups created beforehand.
That was on the balancing, the understanding between income tax and property. Like, here's what an income tax, you were a citizen at the time in the focus group, and our focus was, here's what an income tax does, factual. Mm-hmm. Here's what a property tax does, who it impacts, you know, mm-hmm. who it doesn't
who pays,
impact,
yeah.
you know, kind
yeah.
of like a a Venn diagram,
yeah,
if you will.
Right.
Then knowing this, which would benefit the district the most, yeah, and resoundingly an income tax was seen as benefiting us the most, but it didn't have the
support
to do it.
Yeah.
They understood that from a district perspective, that was a way to have increased revenues without being on the ballot all the time.
Understood.
So it was a bit different process. That's okay.
Hearing that story.
The message that we don't want our taxes to go up at all, I think, was something that started to generate in January, February in our community. I wholeheartedly agree that, you know, the circumstances haven't changed. Sitting here right now, we've talked about an awful lot of things, and I need time to
digest. And we do have,
see if Nan wants to add anything?
Sure, yeah.
Do you guys mind?
No, not at all, yeah.
Nan, is there anything you would like to add or share?
I just want to just reiterate again that I do have strong concerns about the fact that the community does not seem to be willing to support any sort of income tax or any sort of tax at all. I think that's a very disappointing aspect, and I think it is going to be difficult to sway. It was 900 votes earlier, but I do agree that with this upcoming election, it's going to be a greater number of votes. I just don't know that if we don't put something on the ballot and give them the chance to say no again, which I fully expect them to say no again. That's why I'm not saying that we really need to run a campaign, because we have shared all the information over and over again, but there is a organized anti-tax group working against us. But I'm trying to figure out without running a campaign and waiting to the next year, if that actually helps us with the messaging, because putting it on the ballot actually keeps it at the forefront of someone's mind and conversation.
Thank you, Nan. I know we have we had tentatively scheduled a special meeting on the 17th of July, I believe. I didn't really come in here anticipating that we would make any final decisions. This is really our first chance to meet as a group after we heard about the focus group and survey results. So I think at this point it makes a little sense for us to kind of sit back and again digest this information and then just plan to get back together on the 17th to continue the conversation. If we decide to move in the direction to put something on in November, we would be probably making that on the 20th at our regular meeting. Because that we have a deadline coming up at the end of this month. So just so everyone is aware of that, we have these simulations that give us a range of results. Mm-hmm. So again, I would just encourage everybody to review, and we still have time to make some more comments if you like, but you know, time to review these and ask some questions of Todd. I asked him early yesterday evening and he responded before I went to bed. So he's pretty good at getting back, as we all know. But anyway, so yeah, other comments.
I was just going to ask for a time on the
17th. On the 17th. I'm not sure if we've made a time. Probably in that
4:30 on the
calendar. Yeah, I think I was assuming it would probably be 4:30.
I had 4:30 as well.
Okay.
Here.
Yes.
Well,
oh, maybe not.
Stay tuned. HVAC
coming
in that week, and no one can be in the building on the day it's installed. So if we can hang tight on location, I'll know early next week. which is ahead of schedule. Good news.
Good. Good. Oh, yeah, I think, I think we've got the early college high school project lab as the location. You had checked into that for me.
There
so,
you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. We forgot we'd already done that.
There you go.
So, yeah, 4:30 at the project lab.
My concern, mm-hmm. say, I mean, I hear everyone's positions right now, so I probably mm-hmm. have an assumption, but does it give, that seems like a tight timeline if we did go in November for mm-hmm. things to get prepared, you know, from the levy committee's point of view. Mm-hmm. Is there any assumptions that we could start brainstorming? I mean, I don't know. I'm just that, like the 17th to figure out what our decision is.
Yeah.
And then the 20th, I mean, that's 3 weeks that
I think Sue should probably reach out to the committee and check fundraising balances and things of that nature to mm-hmm. even see feasibility for
right.
that to take place.
Right.
And maybe
there may be some challenges with.
Wait, yeah, I mean, because this is a,
yeah, with the
this
committee.
Would be typically the ramp-up period for the behind-the-scenes,
right.
getting
right.
things running.
And I would like to have some options for reductions, additional reductions, if we decide to put an issue on the ballot in November and it does not pass. What are the things that we can do immediately? What are the things that we can do heading into the next year?
Mm-hmm.
Would get us closer to a balanced budget 5 years out.
Okay.
And that's going to be ugly. Oh. Mm-hmm. But.
And so what you would like us to do is compile a list, not necessarily make a recommendation, I hope.
Correct.
All right.
Yes. No, I think it would be premature to get some recommendations,
right.
but I think mm-hmm. if we, at that point, had, you know, in order to balance the budget, we need to immediately, you know, the day after the election, if it doesn't pass, immediately the SRO program is going to stop. You know, we stop our expenses in that area, and I hate that. You know, that we are going to make further reductions in terms of our support of extracurriculars. We're going to, you know, make further reductions in terms of not necessarily increasing staff. Maybe we eliminate the increased teachers. Where the current proposals show 4 teachers, so that's several hundred thousand dollars each year. You know, those kinds of things. If we have people that are currently employed, I would personally want to try to make sure that they have a job. You know, I don't want to see us go into a reduction of staff, but we might forestall hiring additional teachers to take care of the growth that we anticipate is mm-hmm. is going to come, and the impact in a lot of those areas could be absolutely catastrophic. I think we'd lose courses. We would no longer be able to offer the variety of the courses that we offer. Some of our pathways would probably disappear.
A lot of our pathways, honestly, would stay intact because mm-hmm. they're High Point employees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would be, unfortunately, probably getting to untested areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The
electives, kind of things like
the
that.
The electives
yeah.
and the mm-hmm. Specials
yep.
and
mm-hmm.
Those kind of things that aren't at state minimum. Because, have had in the past, we've had discussions, what happens if the community just says, we're not going to pay it?
So, in essence, you know, those would be things like elementary guidance.
Right. You know, that you're looking at. And I hope, the way schools are funded in Ohio requires a partnership between the state of Ohio and a local community. Mm-hmm. The state of Ohio is not going to step in and pay the full cost of educating our children. That's just not going to happen. And the fair school funding model provides a very clear picture and a much easier way to explain what the state share is going to be and what the local share is going to be. But the local community has a share, has a responsibility to fund part of the education. And that's where our ask is. Mm-hmm. And we have told people in our community that they pay the lowest tax rates for schools in Central Ohio, almost without exception. I think there's maybe one or
Hamilton,
two. Hamilton. Okay, there's one other that pays less than they do. And in terms of the capacity component of the Fair School Funding Plan, we are
12th
in the state. That means there's only 12 or 11 districts in the state that make less of an effort in support of their public schools than our community does. And for me, as a resident of this community, as a taxpayer in this community, that's embarrassing that, you know, we're not doing what we're capable of doing to help our kids. And that to me is what it's all about. It's the kids. They're the ones that, if the community decides not to pay additional taxes, it is our kids that will pay in terms of a lesser educational opportunity. Mm-hmm. There's a cost.
Yep. And going back to your timing questions, Jermaine, I feel like, you know, even in June, or since when the May levy didn't pass, we had talked about the deadline being the end of July, that we would need to make a decision. And so I think we were kind of leaning towards this time frame anyways, that we knew it was because we needed to wait for the state funding before we could do anything. So anyways,
what the amount would be, what the ask would be, you know, the question, in my view, of November being an option, quite wasn't taken as seriously, mm-hmm. I thought, as it is now. So
okay, yeah.
And if you're planning to run a campaign in November and you're just wanting to, I mean, you could start building infrastructure knowing you're going to be on the ballot, but now the question
and I do think
on the ballot is now in the air.
I think there have been some attempts to like start the fundraising and even like in my conversation with one supportive community member is kind of like, well, let's see what you decide to do before I give you any more money and stuff.
Yeah,
so
that's why we need to make
and then decision. Well, yeah, I know, but even at that point we have the conversations, we need to wait for state funding and you know, and then have those conversations. So it's just not something, obviously, it's a very serious, important decision, and I just want to make sure we have time to digest these simulations, think, and just continue the thought process. So, okay. Any final comments, Nan?
No. I appreciate this. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yes, we can.
I was able to actually listen to the conversation very clearly, which so
good.
Thumbs up on the Teams app because it does work really well.
All right.
Even when you're driving in a car. So I appreciate that.
Thanks to our tech
we'll
department.
We'll be getting together the 17th and then the 21st with the city.
We got the 17th, a special meeting for us. Then our regular July meeting is the 20th, and then we will have a follow up meeting with city council on the 21st.
Okay, and the last item that I did want to confirm is that with this November election coming up with multiple items on the ballot, would there be a fee to place something on the ballot?
Yeah, there always is. You just split it, so I don't know what that fee is. We'd have to check into that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just less.
Okay.
When
right, definitely less than before.
Okay, and the last levy that passed in 2008 was during a presidential election, true?
Correct.
Okay, I wanted to clarify that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, then I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Keck. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. We're adjourned at 9.